Golden State Media Concepts social media podcast. Time to hashtag everything with
Mariano
and Pauline.
Hashtag Pauliano. We talk about all the fun, crazy stories on social media. From Instagram to Facebook, Twitter to Tumblr, or probably even Friendster. Join us each week as we explore the quirky side of social media. It's the Golden State Media Concepts social media podcast.
It's simple. It's simple, such a sad song. The one that we rely on to get us, to get us.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. I'm your host, Stacy, here with...
I'm your other host, Sarah.
And today, unfortunately, we have to start with the YouTube shooting incident down at the YouTube headquarters in Meadowview.
Not the cheeriest of subjects, but it would fall under the category of social media news.
Right.
So, yes, do you want to give us a brief overview of that?
Yes. So, the YouTube shooter, single woman by the name of Naseem Najafi Haddam, I apologize if that pronunciation is wrong, from San Diego, evidently had a bit of a grudge against YouTube. For about a year or so, she had been claiming that they had been censoring her videos or filtering her videos to make it harder for her to earn revenue from them. And her family was a little concerned, and they called the police when she drove from San Diego to Meadowview, but may or may not have told the police that they thought she might be violent. They definitely seem to have said they thought she might do something.
Right.
But didn't maybe the police say they didn't say she possibly could be violent?
Okay. So, interesting. I mean, she owned a gun. I mean, she legally bought the gun, we are told, and she had practiced at a nearby gun range. So either her family didn't know this or didn't think it was important. I mean, I would think you would be a little concerned if your family member was angry enough to drive somewhere after having bought a gun and practiced with it. Maybe that's just because I'm from Montana and people...
people who drive away with guns might go do something.
I don't know. So she had a grudge against YouTube, which I find I know this isn't a funny topic, but when I hear that she had a grudge against YouTube, it just makes me kind of think of YouTube. Like, well, maybe you should just shoot your computer, which is not... Again, it's not funny. Sorry, but... Did she have a specific target in mind when she went to the headquarters? Like, was there a certain person or I mean, she killed herself, so we can't ask her.
Yeah.
Is there any evidence that she had a plan?
It's still unclear in the same way it's unclear what the family members told the police. They say she at least knew one person at the headquarters.
Okay.
But that person may or may not have been the target. And there were three people who did get shot.
Right. But no one has died.
Right.
Only the shooter. Critical condition, but I haven't heard that anyone has died at this point.
Yeah. And the person who wasn't critical got moved down to fair or whatever the less serious one is from critical.
Okay.
But yeah, so her whole grudge, I guess, was about demonetization, which was something that a lot of YouTubers have complained about in the past year or so when YouTube changed their policies.
Yep, it's been about a year.
That made it harder for smaller makers, I guess, to get the views that bring ad revenue.
Right.
Or I guess not to get the views. It changed the number of views required to get ad revenue.
Yes. Yes. And so unless you have a really good way to get your YouTube videos out there and, you know, unless something goes viral, it can be very hard to promote your YouTube podcast or your YouTube videos. And so, yeah, I mean, I can kind of understand that being angry, but I do not understand
the
being so angry
part.
Right.
Yeah, that's a little extreme.
Yeah. I guess I never quite understand that. What had she done prior to this? I think if I'm remembering correctly, she had tried to talk to somebody at YouTube, or did I read that wrong?
I mean, she seemed to have gone through the I guess, official channels to mm-hmm. make a complaint with YouTube. But, like, I remember one of the things they talked about was she was really upset because they put an exercise video she did just showing her, like, exercise routine or whatever, and put, like, a rating. Not a rating. But, you know, made it, like, marked it as unsuitable for children somehow. That it was sort of okay. adults-only material for her exercise routine. And she felt that they were doing this purposefully, not necessarily against, like, her specifically. They really just didn't like Naseem, but against smaller makers in general, that this was a purposeful, like, insidious plan of YouTube's to make it really difficult for people to either watch these videos or to even have them at all. Because I think she also claimed that YouTube just completely, like, cut some of them out or something.
Oh, interesting. I wonder if there are other people who feel the same way, or if, I mean, I know people are upset about the changes that have made it harder for you to get the ad revenue, but mm-hmm. I wonder if people feel that they have been unfairly treated in terms of videos being removed, or, you know, as you said, mm-hmm. things being marked as unsuitable for children or whatever it might be, or if this was more, because at first glance, it sounds like paranoia.
Yes.
And I don't want to say that she was paranoid, because I don't, obviously, I don't know her. I don't know her right. story, but it sounds a little like paranoia. So I do wonder if there are other people who have experienced the same issue.
Yeah, it didn't actually come up too much about other people thinking that YouTube was purposefully hindering their videos. Just the whole thing about the view number requirements.
Right, right.
But as far as, like, YouTube seriously out to ruin your channel, I didn't see too many things in response to that when I was looking this up.
Yeah, interesting.
It's very strange.
I also read an article just today where, when this story first broke, there was a lot of speculation that because she is female, and mm-hmm. most shooters are male. It just is one of those statistics, right? Thank you. They assumed, they being just the general world, mm-hmm. that it was because she was jilted or she had an ex that she was upset with, and that mm-hmm. was why she had gone to YouTube. And that is not true. And it turns out that when you look through the history of female shooters, it's never been the case
really?
That they get angry about an ex-lover or a relationship gone bad. So that's an interesting sort of social constructed mm-hmm. idea of this story.
Well, and it was also really interesting in the social construct thing about how much of, since this is social media news, how much when this was happening of fake news on social media, that as this was happening, you know, because you couldn't really know right away who this was and what was going on and why, all you know is there's a shooter at YouTube, but you don't know anything about them. The number of people who were accused of being the shooter on social media was insane, like, and very, like, strong with people. You know, one person tweets it and then everyone else retweets it of, oh, okay, it's
right.
this person. Like, there was one, I think they accused Anita, what's her name, I think, from Gamergate, of being the shooter.
Oh.
And Sam Hyde was another name that came up, and he's another social media personality.
Mm-hmm.
And so you keep seeing all these things of, like, this is the shooter, so-and-so. And then people are like, no, that's not. Please stop passing that on. That's not the thing. And this fake news just completely blew up with this.
That is one of my pet peeves with social media. Let me just put it out there. Is mm-hmm. the people, especially on, well, no, I guess it just doesn't matter, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, mm-hmm. people just believe it because they see it on the internet and they don't do any sort of back research. They don't try to verify any facts. They just put it out there and say this happened, like it's true, and then other people believe them.
Yes.
And
actually, we will be talking a bit about that later in another story, but I think it's also a bit dangerous. It's like, how do you know what to believe when things like this happen, where the mainstream news media isn't there right away, because of course they can't be.
Right.
As an event is unfolding, the only thing you really can hear about is, like, personal accounts from people involved in the event.
Right.
And if this is the case where it's like, oh, anyone anywhere is putting out, oh, it's so-and-so or such and such a thing is happening, it's like, how can you even, as the event is happening, know what's true and what's not?
Yes, exactly. Although I will say, to be fair, social media has helped in other situations. You know, I mean, Facebook mm-hmm. has the mark yourself safe in mm-hmm. terms of certain events that happen. I know when the nightclub shooting happened in Florida, that social media actually helped
right.
find people, you know, help mm-hmm. people check in. So I don't want to just be completely down right. on social media. I just, check your sources, people.
Yes. Or don't spread hysteria, I guess, would also be a good thing.
Yes. Yeah.
So, I don't know. We're going to take a short break, but when we come back, we will be talking about something not as serious, but still sort of sad, Channing Tatum and Jenna Dewan. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast.
Always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. Jordan and Keith is Entertainment Tonight meets Access Hollywood.
I'm Jordan. Guy laughing, that's Keith.
Yeah, I'm Keith.
An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Welcome back to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. Today we're talking about various stories, some up, some down. This one's a little middle range, I guess you would say, which is that Channing Tatum and Jenna Dewan Tatum have decided to separate.
Yes, and it has been all over social media.
Yes.
I think I saw it on every social media site I've been on lately.
Yeah. So. It was hard to not see it almost.
Yeah.
Yep. But I mean, so Channing Tatum and Jenna Dewan Tatum have been married for 9 years. And of course, you know, they met on the set of Step Up where they filmed together and then married in 2009. And they have a young daughter, Everly, 4 years. And the way they announced this separation was like almost the chillest. Like celebrity announcement of a marriage not doing well, I think I've ever heard of. Mm-hmm. That they both put on their like social media things on their Instagram or whatever that they have like decided to lovingly separate,
right.
Which I didn't know you could do because well, whatever.
Sure, I mean, yeah, I can see that. Yeah,
like it's amazing how much this was covered, considering that it's not any of those like. Oh, he was cheating on her or whatever. Like they actually made a point in their post to say that this is not because of any salacious things or any behavior or any rumors. We've just decided, you know, to separate, but we're still really good friends and we're committed to raising our daughter together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, okay. I think partly, I'm not sure, like this is sort of a chicken and the egg thing of which came first, them saying there's no salacious events or salacious events that they feel they have to point out, no, there were no salacious events.
Right, right.
Because there were evidently rumors that, you know, maybe Channing Tatum was drinking too much or flirting too much or that somehow that was involved in this choice to separate. And they're like, no, that's not what's happening.
You know, this is another thing about social media. It's just interesting. I mean, Hollywood relationships can't be easy.
Right.
The number of divorces that happen in Hollywood is amazing. I always root for the people that have been married for any length of time, right. Whether I like them as actors or not. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, the fact that they've stayed together. But the fact that I can't quite imagine my marriage is breaking up for whatever reason. So what do I have to think about? Or what does my publicist have to think about? Or what does my staff have to think about? How are we going to present this on social media? Because it is news. And I realize that that is one of the side effects. That's not the word I'm looking for. But, you know.
One of the things you have to deal with.
Yeah, one of the things that comes with being in the public eye. But it's just not something that... let me just say, I'm glad I don't have to do these things on social media.
Right, yeah. Because, I mean, you see Celebrity Life, you think, oh, it's wonderful and all the glitz and glamour. Wouldn't that be great? But then I actually tend to think of, like, the not-so-great things that you sort of have to deal with. Where I'd really want to just, you know, go in my room and stay there for a few days and just sort of, like, keep the covers over my head or just not deal with the world for a while. And here, you know, if you're a celebrity, not only do you have to deal with the world, but the world's tends to be very invasive about it.
Exactly. And actually, it doesn't matter what you say necessarily.
Right.
Like, you could put out a statement that was very detailed, or you could go hide in your room for 3 days.
Right.
And there would still be, I mean, I still saw an article that was, you know, definitely clickbait.
Mm-hmm.
Something along, you know, the something like Jenna reveals why, or you know, something along the real reason that they broke up, or you know, it's always something that gets you to click through, and then it's nothing.
Right.
I didn't click on it because I knew it was clickbait.
But. Well, and there's also the problem of even if you say something, it's become it's almost the standard operating procedure that, you know, when something happens, it's not a big deal.
Right.
We're fine. We're friends. We just chose to separate. That's so often a celebrity's statement that, of course, people are like, oh, that can't be the real story.
Right.
And then they just start making things up or whatever off of the slimmest of rumors, just partly for clickbait, but also to, you know, to have a story to talk about.
Yeah.
And then it's like you're taking a person's real life and really going off into a whole nother fantasy fiction world here.
Exactly. Yeah. And then when there are children involved, I always feel bad for the children.
Right.
I mean, I feel bad for the children of celebrities in general, just because, you know, mom wants to go get a cup of coffee, and so you've got cameras in your face. That's something I don't think I could deal with. Having to always, quote unquote, look great or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I'd immediately give up on that one.
I mean, there would just always be pictures of me in the tabloids just looking like crap.
And I think there was also, for the children, I think there was a law case a few years ago about whether or not children of celebrities were private citizens and had the right to be have private lives. And I don't remember which way that law case came out or even if it finished, but just the fact that someone, I think, filed a lawsuit for their child of like, no, my child's not a celebrity. You can't follow my child around with cameras or whatever.
Right.
And I think it was you can't even photograph them or something.
Hmm.
But the fact that you had to have a lawsuit about this for a child is just a little ridiculous.
Yeah, and I know some celebrities go through different, you know, processes. Like, I can't think of who it was, but I read her memoir. Oh, Nina Vardalos. Mm-hmm. You know, she's not a huge celebrity, but she's well known, and her husband is also an actor, and they used to just have their daughter wear a mask, like a Halloween mask, when she went out, and she thought it was fun.
Yeah.
You know, so they kind of made it a game. Or face paint or whatever it was. But, wow, you know those articles, celebrities, they're just like us. Well, they're not in terms of some things.
Yeah, and I think it was, I think Jack Nicholson, I know, definitely did, but someone else who actually physically threatened, but Jack Nicholson verbally threatened a photographer for, like, taking pictures of their kid. Like, stop taking pictures of my kid. And I think someone else, like, completely cussed them out about it. Because, it's like, fine, I'm a celebrity. I, you know, signed on the dotted line to do whatever, even though I'm not quite sure how barging into people's lives and stalking and breaking into their and going through their trash and all that is part of that. But okay, let's just hypothetically say that's the case. The child who was born and didn't choose their parents didn't sign any of that.
Yeah, exactly.
So how is that fair game?
Yeah. Yeah, and we've, you know, gotten a little off topic, but it's still kind of relevant to the topic of just how these things play out in social media, especially.
Well, and I think also just as a marriage is falling apart or going through a rough patch, that's already an emotionally straining situation.
Yeah.
And then to have to do that in the public eye, like I know Panteri is about to get married, and that was one of the things his mother really struggled with when her marriage to Prince Charles was falling apart, was how much the photographers would follow her around and like put cameras in her faces and wouldn't leave her alone as she's going through this really, you know, heartbreaking thing of, oh, this marriage of however many years.
Right.
That I was once in love with this person, and now obviously I'm a bit heartbroken because that didn't end up the way I wanted. But, oh, while you're doing that, please play it out for, you know, millions and millions of people.
Yeah. Now, I will say, because I was thinking about the royal family just a few minutes ago. It's funny you bring that up. They do, in terms of their children, they do a very good job of what gets released and what doesn't. And, you know, I'm impressed. But not everybody has the resources of the royal family to be able to do it to that extent.
I mean, I think the royal family just has a somewhat stated, somewhat not stated with the press about what you can and cannot release, because the press, at least used to, I'm not sure now in this days of internet and everything has to go out right now, does, but they used to actually call and like ask for a confirmation for certain stories of, hey, is this true?
Right.
Did you really say such and such? Did you really do such and such? And so the royal family did have a bit of a filter that they could put on that of, yes, this is, or no, this isn't, or please don't put that story out, whatever. So the royal family is a bit different from our celebrities who it doesn't seem, outside of like agreeing to do exclusive photos for a certain magazine, have much control over what's put out about their lives.
Right. Although now one of our celebrities is going to be a part of the royal family.
That, oh, on the one hand, cool. On the other hand, oh my gosh, the media circus.
I know.
After that, I can't even imagine what that's going
to
be like.
I can't even imagine being Meghan Markle and having to learn everything that she's going to have to learn. She seems
to be handling it fine from what I see in the meeting. Yeah, I don't know her, but you know, like, and just projecting.
People have been talking about maybe that's why she's handling it fine, is because she's already a celebrity, mm-hmm. and so she's already a little used to, at least, you know,
some
cameras
of it, right.
following you around on your everyday life as you go to the grocery store. Isn't that amazing? Right. So maybe she's more prepared than people previously who have married into the royal family, who went literally from I am absolutely a private citizen to suddenly I am the most public citizen in the world for some reason.
Yes, and my wedding is going to be on international television.
Right, yeah, and there's like hundreds and hundreds of people that I probably don't even know that I have to invite because whole other reasons.
Yes.
So yeah.
Meghan Markle. Stay tuned for that coverage in May. We will be talking about the royal wedding.
Of course we will, yes. But anyways, we're going to take another short break. And when we come back, we'll be talking about not a wedding, but a marriage proposal. Ooh. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. Today we're talking about a whole host of things, but previously we were talking about marriage falling apart and then a marriage about to come, the soon-to-be marriage between Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. But, interestingly, there was a rather strange wedding proposal.
Mm-hmm.
Marc Jacobs, the fashion designer, proposed to his boyfriend, Char DeFrancesco, I apologize if I misstated that, at Chipotle. I just...
Oh, now I do like Chipotle. Interesting.
But for a marriage proposal?
But wasn't there, you know, like a flash mob? And
there
was. So was it just like, let's go to Chipotle for lunch, baby?
I mean, yeah, no, he definitely had a plan. This wasn't a spur of the moment thing. Marc Jacobs did set this whole thing up with the flash mob that was dancing to Prince's Kiss.
Aww.
And the staff didn't seem to know what was happening.
Oh, dear.
But they did. Some of them start dancing along with it because, hey, why not? Flash mob and something's going on. So, sure. Prince's Kiss is not a bad song. So,
is this their favorite place? Did they have their first date there?
It's not clear. Nothing came out about why it was at Chipotle. It just was at Chipotle.
Huh.
And I'm just like, I kind of hope there is some sort of story or significance to Chipotle about that. Like you said, like a first date or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, like if that was me, I'd be like, I don't know about this. You proposed to me at Chipotle. I don't know what this says about our future marriage.
Yeah. I mean, on the one hand, major props for the flash mob. Clearly there was planning that
yes.
went into this.
Mm-hmm.
So I would imagine there has to be some story behind Chipotle.
Right.
Unless it was like, I have this whole thing planned at our favorite French restaurant that's upscale. And oh, shoot, they won't let us have it there.
Right.
You know?
Or like, this is the only time because we're both really busy.
Right.
So we have a quick lunch thing. That's the only time I can propose. Okay, let's do it then. Like, I don't know. Neither of them have said why Chipotle or what the significance is of Chipotle. But this was a very, it was very cute. And the fiancé obviously, you know.
Did he say yes, I hope?
Yes.
Okay.
And he clearly they like Chipotle a little more. I don't hate Chipotle, but they clearly like it more than me. Because he definitely had a bright smile on his face the whole time. Because I don't know if Mark filmed it himself. I think he had someone film it for him to put it on their Instagram. Both of them. Bright smiles, very happy this whole time, even if, you know, the fiance at first was like, what? right. What's happening right now with this flash mob and Prince? Okay, whatever, I'll just go along with this.
At least he didn't put a ring in the burrito.
Yeah. I mean, that, I never understood that whole thing about putting rings in food.
How many people have choked. Swallowed that, choked yeah. and or swallowed their engagement ring because it was hidden? And then... Well, we're not going to talk about what you have to do to wait for that ring to come out.
Right. But even if you don't swallow it, if you put it in like a messy food, then you've got to clean the really pretty
right.
special engagement ring out with like cake or, right. or rice and beans or whatever
it is.
Yeah. Ring. You've got to clear it out. And I'm just like, don't do that. Like, I think we've talked about this because we're both books people mm-hmm. that if a guy was going to propose to me with something really, really fancy, like statement thing, that I'd want him to do like Beast from Beauty and the Beast and give me a library.
A library.
That would be a perfect proposal for me. Just open the door. Here's this your library. This is all for you. Will you marry me? Be like, yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Or yeah, you could even do something, you know, like over here, there's the section on the romance novels and right. oh, look, what is that? There's a ring.
Right.
There's
exactly.
all sorts of things you could do. My husband did not propose to me. I proposed to him.
Oh.
So I don't even have a, like, mm-hmm. he did this amazing thing for me.
Did you do an amazing thing for him?
I made him a book.
Oh, hey, that's something. You don't get that every day.
So, yeah, there was a whole other process that went with it, but, mm-hmm. It was kind of funny because he said, are you proposing to me? And I said, do you want me to propose to you?
Hypothetically speaking, if I were, right. what would your response be?
I'm like, oh, crap. Is this going to go terribly wrong?
Aww.
But
obviously, worked out.
Yeah.
He is now your husband.
Correct.
But anyways, earlier we were talking about YouTube and the fake news that mm-hmm. All went over that. And so, and I still can't believe that either of these things we're about to talk about is a thing. But the condom snorting challenge, have you heard of this?
Yes.
Stop
with the challenges also.
I mean, I mean, clearly my teenage years were slightly different because YouTube kind of showed up in the middle of them. So it wasn't something we were all super used to, and it was still very much in its infancy.
There was no internet when I was a teen, thank goodness.
So didn't have this whole meme thing that all the teenagers have to do, like it's the thing. But the condom snorting challenge supposedly is this new thing that teens are doing, which just sounds disgusting, to replace the Tide Pod challenge, which of course is now so passe somehow. But I mean, even with the Tide Pod challenge, I remember hearing about that and just going, no, but why?
Well, yeah, but who was the first person to think of this, and then why did it become a thing?
Right. Why would you want to do that? Because assuming you don't poison yourself,
right?
B, that's just disgusting. Like, you know, that's already gonna not taste good. It's laundry detergent.
Yeah.
It's soap. Like, you've probably gotten that in your mouth or something. Anyways, why would you purposefully do that?
And so, just to be completely snarky about this, if you're snorting the condom, you're not using the condom, which means you could be procreating. Don't put other stupid people in the world. I'm not saying, yeah, okay. I mean, really, it's just a dumb act. But
right.
Let's use condoms for what they're actually designed for.
Wait, when I first heard about this, I was actually surprised that I couldn't really find too many stories about people like choking on this, because it kind of seems to me like you would somehow get that caught
right.
somewhere in, and there are actually a number of cases each year where people do go to the emergency room for inhaling condoms, but not through the condom snorting challenge. But I think the most interesting thing about this challenge is that it's not actually a challenge right now,
right?
That like most of the videos of the condom snorting challenge are like 5 or so years old. Like, this was a thing way back.
Right.
And it's like not actually the new Tide Pod challenge. So how did this become such a like hysteria thing in the news lately?
Exactly. Yeah. How did your 5-year-old post somehow become viral?
Yeah.
Or however that happens.
Like, I think it was just the Tide Pod challenge, which was a thing recently, mm-hmm. was such a big media storm and stupid.
Yeah.
The media was like, okay, what's the new Tide Pod challenge? So now it's like, condom snorting is the new Tide Pod challenge. Orange is the new black, sort of thing. Like, this is the new thing. That, and it's like, okay, yeah, but. No. No. Actually, not the new thing. Actually, the old thing. Right. Actually, like, the original thing, almost. So, how did you all blow this way? I know it's... And I mean...
Again, check your sources, folks.
And I get it. How, like, just regular people could sort of pass this on crazily, because that's something to be worried about if your teenager thinks this is cool and is going to try it and then, you know, mm-hmm. possibly chokes to death or whatever. Like, this is it's a health scare, essentially. Yes. But at the same time, for the mainstream media, shouldn't that have been something you said that, oh, actually not a whole problem right now? But don't try it. Don't try and don't make it a problem right now.
Right. Yeah. Don't sensationalize it. Which just makes me think, raising teenagers is hard enough without all of the new conversations we now have to have with them.
Right.
Don't smoke. Let's talk about safe sex. Oh, don't take drugs. And Tide Pods, you shouldn't eat them.
Right.
Condoms go on the other end of your body, right. Not up your nose.
Like, you have to have a whole thing about challenges or what. Like, I remember when people were doing the cinnamon challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and I'm just like, again, but why?
Right.
But why would you want to do this? And
I'm sure that there were, you know, there were challenges like this when I was a teenager, but I don't think they were quite as prevalent because they weren't so widely available.
Right. You couldn't pass them on very much. Like,
yeah.
You just only did it by word of mouth, but now, you know,
there was probably
everyone can do it on video and they want to get all the views.
Right. I would imagine that there were challenges that were sort of isolated in certain areas, you know, like,
right, things. What we did in my town,
right? Sorry. Right. Yeah. Well, back in my day.
Oh yeah. Well, that's it for today. Next time we will be talking about Anna Wintour, The Rock, Dilly Dilly.
Oh jeez.
And women describing themselves the way men do. So tune in next time. You've been listening to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.